praise. We thank you so much in what you're doing in this place. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in a strong way in this church. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And I see that. Such an, like a magnet of people that will come to this ministry. I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for the miracles. I thank you, oh my, the lives change. Oh my, I see that. It's all coming to pass. We thank you for it, Father. Praise God. Well, you may be seated. We just finished a ladies' meeting. Well, my wife did, not me, but I was invited, and we got a little section over where the men could sit, but we got invited in, so it was real good. But we finished that up Saturday morning, and then we went out with some ministers on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning we had our service. But Sunday afternoon, God started dealing with me about these services. And he already told me what he wanted me to preach on tonight. And if you listen very carefully, you'll get an impartation that will bless you and help you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You'll get blessed. That's right there talking about impartation. Because what I just saw and what I've known for years, that this church is about to step into, it's going to be something else. I mean, I'm talking about groves of people that you're going to be able to help. You're on an upswing. You're moving in. You're moving into it. See, there's two worlds. There's this world and there's another world in the spirit world. But there's already angels starting to gather the people that when you get into your new place, they're going to come by the groves. You can mark it down. If it doesn't happen, I'm a false prophet. But it'll happen. I said it'll happen because you love people and you help people. And because of a young man that didn't quit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Quitters are dime a dozen, but those that stick it out. Payday doesn't come every day, but it does come. I said it does come, doesn't it? Glory be to God. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the spirit of faith. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me tonight. Go over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, now 20th verse. Now tomorrow night, see, I already told me. He told me what night, every night, what to do. Friday night, we're going to minister to the sick. Of course, we could operate by the gifts of the Spirit, ever how the Lord wants us to do. But tomorrow night, you're going to get rid of a bunch of cares. I'm going to teach you how God taught me not to carry cares around. So I'm going to give you some homework. Listen up now. Now, tomorrow, I haven't told the staff yet, but tomorrow they'll have pieces of paper and stuff that may be at the door in case you don't bring it. But I want you to bring tomorrow everything that's been bothering you and what you've been worrying about. And I want you to write it down. I'm going to teach you how to get rid of it. I'm going to teach you how to give it to Jesus. Little different for a crusade, but seems like I'm back in my home church doing these things. But we're going to get rid of some things. And every time the Lord has me do this, you can feel a move of God, and it's just like a weight lifted off. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Praise God. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful, an unfaithful man. Oh, I'm just saying if you're paying attention. Did you bring your Bible with you? Huh? Got your glasses? You know, if you're ashamed to bring it with you, put it in a sack until you get over it. But it's the Word of God that'll change you. A faithful man. Oh, excuse me. It says faithful. A faithful man shall abound with what? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read out of the sixth verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, listen to that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many want to please God? I want to please God. You know, I heard people, well, you know, that faith message that Brother Hagin preaches and all that bunch of stuff is a bunch. Well, it says right here, without it, you can't please him. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now look at this. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I don't know about you. I like to live in those rewards. Amen. Now, I've learned this. My first church, I didn't know nothing. I still don't know much. I'm still learning. But in my first church, I was just a young pastor and didn't know how to pastor. I was just by knocks. But that church, we started with 12 people, and it grew to 1,000 in 8 years. Now, it was on the cutting edge of the word of faith and so forth like that. But when I learned some things that God spoke to me about faith. Faith has a twin, and it's called faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People tell me, well, I got a lot of faith, but they're never faithful in their church attendance. Hello? See, faith will be faithful to what God told you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. God spoke to your pastor, the pastor of this church, when his dad went home to be with the Lord, and he has stuck with it.
That's right.
And a faithful man, and now you're starting to see the blessings. A faithful man shall abound in the blessings of God. When it looked like it could have been contrary, amen. Because when Pastor Sims went home to be with the Lord, the congregation started going down. Because I know I came here almost every year, you know, it was going down. But he stayed with it. I said he stayed with it. See, that's faith.
Yes.
And being faithful to what God told you to do.
Amen.
Well, what if nobody shows up? Well, preach to your wife and children. But if God told you to do something, you do it. And you will abound in the blessings of God. It will come. Glory be to God forevermore. I love the word of God. I remember, see, I first got saved. Now, this is what the Lord wanted me to share with you. And I was just sitting there in the back room. You know, we just got off of the road. We had that meeting. I was just resting. And God said, share your testimony, what I told you to build that church for your pastor Wednesday night. I said, okay, I'm going to obey.
Amen.
And I remember in 1965, I was sitting on a bar stool on my way to hell. And a voice came to me while I'm half drunk and said, you will go all over the world and preach the gospel. I told the bartender, set everybody up with a bud because I'm going to go all over the world. I'm going to be a priest. Well, I was Catholic. So, I was married, so I don't know how he was going to work that out. And so I bought everybody a beer in there, and they laughed at me like you did, and they drank my beer. But a week later, I went into this guy was working with me on the job by the name of Billy Fraser. And for a whole year and a half, he'd been telling me about Jesus. And I give that guy a hard time. I said, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, he said, I love you and Jesus loved you. And I said, get away from me. What do you mean you love me? You know, that's how twisted, you know, your mind was. Well, for after a year and a half, and then God spoke to me that Friday. And then the next Friday, Billy was working, and Billy said, you need to come to church. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll leave you alone about Jesus if you'll come to church with me. I said, okay, you got to do it. You won't say another word. I'm so tired of you telling me that you love me and Jesus loves me. But in my heart, I liked it. You know, when you're tough and, you know, working in construction. I was working for a Parsons construction company. I was a foreman on a construction site building coker plants for Richfield Refinery. So I had a good job. And so I went to church. Never forget it. I had little black pants and a white shirt. And all terrible looking. But anyway, I went to church. And I was sitting. There was a middle row here, and I was sitting where Mitch is sitting. I was sitting over here, excuse me, and there was a Filipino woman sitting here and a Filipino man sitting there. And they were worshiping God, and I thought they were rude because in the Catholic church, we didn't say nothing. Our sister superior, she'd hit you on the back of the head with a ruler. And I'm sitting there, and then, you know, and all of a sudden, that Filipino woman jumped up and started speaking in tongues. And when she did, my hair in the back of my head went straight out. Well, you haven't been around it. You don't know what that is, you know. And then her husband jumped up and interpreted, said, now is the time of salvation. In my heart, I was sitting right here. In my heart, I knew that was me. I just knew it was me. And when he got done, preaching, he said, anybody want to get saved? It was about probably 50, 60 people in that little Assembly of God church. And when he said, anybody want to get saved? I came up. Had no idea. See, later on I learned why the devil was trying to kill me all those years as a youngster and everything else because of the call on my life. And that's another testimony in itself. But I went down and gave my heart to the Lord. When I did, I feel like a Mack truck lifted off of me. And then it's another story. They took me in the back room and trying to get me filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and one had one arm over here saying, hold on. The other one said, let go. And then I had another one that had their hand on my head say, Coca-Cola as fast as you can. This is 1965. Now, I don't know why they'd say Coca-Cola. I guess you say it fast enough, you'll kick in with the Holy Ghost. And I said, I don't like Coke. I said, but I'll take a Bud. Bud. And I said, oh, no. So I didn't know. Hold on, let go. Which one is it? Hold on, let go. Aren't you glad that we have more information today and know how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost? But on the way home, driving home that morning, after I had lunch with Billy, and they said, now you come back tonight. On the way home, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I did. I said, Lord, I don't know, hold on, let go. But I just opened my mouth and let it go, man, and it came out. But that night, when I got there, that service, and they told me to bring my Bible, and I brought my big white Catholic Bible. Three pages over, had a picture of Mother Mary and everything. And I thought those Pentecostals were going to drop dead, you know. I mean, oh, my God, that's a harlot church Bible. And they gave me a paperback King James Version. But see, God had a plan. See, every one of you, God has a plan. And might get ahead of myself here, but it's your faithfulness that pulls you through His plan. You got to be faithful for you to finish the plan that God has for you. Amen. And being in 46 years of ministry now, I am convinced because people do not discern their part in the body of Christ is why they don't live a full life, a long life, is because they don't find out the will of God and be faithful to that. Every one of you have a part in the body of Christ. And I was, so I come Sunday night, and after the service, I went to the pastor. I says, now, I don't know if you could use me. I could work with my hands. I could do something with my hands. And see, I don't understand these people come to church and get saved, and they never come back. I mean, when I got saved, I got saved. I want to be in the house of God. I didn't want to run around my cronies anymore. I was a new creature. I mean, God's lifted that truck off that truck of sin off of my life. And I wanted to help. What can I do? And he says, well, I'm kind of surprised. Well, we need somebody to clean the toilets. I said, I'll do that. Wow. I could do that. Amen. And that's where I started in the ministry. Actually, I started in the ministry that Sunday night. And I went in there and he showed me where the mops and everything else. And I started on Sunday night working in the house of God. Hallelujah. And I started doing that. And then I got involved in church Wednesday, Sunday night, and all the things. And I couldn't get enough. I had to go down to Teen Challenge in L.A. and help Henry Crouch, the singer. And I helped him down there. And just got so involved in church. When you love Jesus, praise God. Now, you got to understand. Now, some of you might not have a call to the fivefold, but I did. But God was proving me. So I was involved for that church for a year and a half. I ended up being a deacon. I ended up being a door greeter. Anything that could be. And there was an opening. I was involved in it. Hello?
Amen. Amen.
And I had a full-time job. And yet I was down there on the weekend. See, faith has a twin, and it's called faithfulness. I hear people through all these years in ministry, I hear people, well, I got faith. But they can't even be faithful in their tithes. They can't be faithful in their church attendance. They don't have faith. Because faith will show with your faithfulness. Hallelujah. And so a year and a half went by, and they were talking about building a building. And they didn't have no money. Well, we were praying one day. And see, I'm learning. I didn't even realize I was listening to the Spirit, because this wasn't Word of Faith Church. They didn't move in the gifts of the Spirit. That Filipino woman got rebuffed afterwards. You don't do that in the main service. Do it in the afterglow. Well, if you don't have a first glow, how can you have an afterglow? Anyway, praise the Lord. I'm old school. Forgive me. So. And we were praying on prayer night and praying about this building. I said, well, he said, Brother Ed, let's pray about our building. And I said, there's something about the Kaiser Corporation here. See, there was a Kaiser Hospital on the top of the hill, and we were in the bottom of the hill. It was an old, dilapidated Assembly of God church. It was beat up and old. And I said, there's something about that. I believe if we, that's the fish. There's something in the fish's mouth. And he said, well, look into it. And he looked into it, and sure enough, they wanted to buy that property. And they sold that property to them, and then we're going to build a new building. We were meeting at the Shriners Hall. That was interesting, but had services in there. See, you guys have been blessed. You're able to use your building. Why? It's a blessing, believe me. Praise God. God's smiling on you folks, I tell you. But anyway, we had that meeting in there. And then the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I want you to build that new building. Because you as a foreman in construction, you know, most of my life then, because my dad and brothers were in construction. And I said, well, I'll go talk to the pastor about it. And the pastor said, I went over there and talked to him. I says, the Lord been dealing with me to run this job. He says, yeah, the Lord spoke to me about that, Brother Ed. I said, well, this is what I make. And his face dropped. And he said, well, the budget that we got, we can't pay anybody. I said, well, man, you know, my first mind, I got to support my family. So I went back and talked to God. He said, I didn't test you to ask them how much they're going to pay you. I told you to do it. Now, I'm only a couple years old. I said, yes, sir. But what about my family? He said, I said for you to build that building. Okay, I got it. Now, you got to understand, I'm just a baby Christian, so I'm learning to be led by the Spirit. So I went back to the pastor and I said, can you pay me anything? He said, Brother Ed, I can't. He said, I understand if you can't do it. So I went back to the Lord and said, and I'm sitting there praying. He said, I said for you to build that building. Okay. Seemed like you're getting a little upset here. You know, he'll put up with you when you're a baby. You know what I'm talking about. But when he said to do it, to do it. So I went to the pastor, said, I'll do it. He said, when do you want to start? He says, well, you know, we can start in 3 weeks. So I gave notice to my job, got out there, rented a bulldozer because they didn't have the money. So we rented a bulldozer and had to take the dirt all the way down 4 feet according to the survey and all what they did and check the dirt. We had to take it down there, then pack it back in to build the building on top of that. And there were some structures. We tore that down with the cat. Well, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, 4 weeks go by, and I'm starting to run out of money. See, God was training me for what I'm in today. Now, this ain't going to be for everybody. God ain't going to tell everybody to do this. But I'm just telling you how he taught me faith and how to be faithful and how to bound in the blessings of God. So I run out of money. Then another 60 days went by. We got the foundation in. It's starting to come up. And now I run completely out of money. And I said, now I went to the Lord after 60 days. I said, now I'm starting to get behind on my mortgage. You said you'd take care of me. Where's it at? Now, I know that's a bunch of doubt and unbelief, but, you know, when you're a baby, you don't know. He's teaching me. 90 days went by. Now I'm running out of food money. I can't pay my electric. I can't pay my gas. And then I get a pink slip in the mail concerning they're going to foreclose on my house. Now, I was a door greeter. I didn't stand at the door. They're not paying me. They ain't paying me nothing here. Don't you feel sorry for me? Or so, hold a card out there. I work for food. God told me to do it. Now, I'm not saying God's going to tell you to do this. He told me to give you this testimony, how I got started in the ministry. A faithful man shall abound in the blessings of God. I said, Lord, you can get somebody else to build this building. He said, I don't have anybody else. Think about that. I don't have anybody else that'll build this building. The next morning after I had that talk with him, I went down the union hall and I got myself a job, foreman job. And they hand me the slip and where to go and everything else. And I started weeping. Now, you do not want to cry at Carpenters Union 1140 around those men. You're supposed to be tough. They're all smoking and, you know, and chewing. And I'm sitting there shaking when he handed it, and I'm crying. And God's saying here, I told you to build that church. I didn't go, I just, oh, okay. Now, you got to understand, I have a call on my life, and he's dealing with me. I gave it back to him, and I went back to the job and repented to the pastor. Well, there was a guy in the church, because I was putting some scripture to God. I didn't know what I know today. I didn't know what we call. I didn't know I had a supply. I just know that God said he'd take care of me. And I brought that up every night in prayer. I said, you said you'd take care of me, and there's no food. Well, I'm on the job, and I'm talking to him about there's no food. He said, go behind Safeway. There's food behind there. Safeway is a, you have Safeways out here? They're a grocery store. And I had an old pickup, so I went around the back after I got off work. I went around the back, and here's these boxes stacked up on the dock. And it was all dented cans, day-old bread, and stuff like that. He said, "That's your food." So I loaded it up in my truck. Now, you better know the voice of the Lord. Don't go around taking people's food unless you know. Huh? Yeah, they were going to put it in. I found out later they were going to put it in the dump. You know, the cans were dented and they can't pass the date. That's why today, me and my wife go at it sometimes. If the milk goes past the date, they throw it out. The other day I caught my girl works in there. She said, "What are you throwing all that milk away for?" She said, "Oh, it went past the date. Put that back in the refrigerator." When I was a kid, we were so poor, that bread that had mold on it, we'd scrape it off and put it in the oven. Isn't that right, Doc? Different generation today, man. He knows what I'm talking about. That's why I'm old school. I should put that stuff back in. No telling what goes on when I'm on the road. Anyway, praise the Lord. It doesn't mean if it goes past the date, the milk went bad. If it's got mold in it, it's bad. Or you could have some penicillin. Anyway, so I loaded up the truck, and the next night I went back after work, and that there was another stack there, so I opened it, and a guy came out the door, and he says, "Hey!" And I jumped, you know, I mean, I said, "Yeah," he's, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm working down here at the church, and I need some food." I just told him I need some food. And I told him, I said, "They're not paying me down there, not to make them feel bad." I said, "That's my deal." But he says, "They're not paying you down there." I said, "No, because they don't have enough money." He says, "Well, that's very good of you." He said, "You come back tomorrow night. You take this and come back tomorrow night." The next night, I had to take truckloads of food. Before you know it, I was feeding people in the church. Okay. Because the reason I'm preaching you this sermon, a faithful church will abound. You're about to abound in the blessings of God. That's what he was showing me. The blessings are going to pour on this place. What it's going to be, it's payday for you. It's payday for you. It's payday for you. Praise God for this church. Glory be to God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yeah. Then I said, "Lord, but I'm 4 months behind." And there was a guy in my church that had a maintenance business. And he came one by the job one day. You know, I see him on Sunday morning, but he said, "Brother Ed, I know you're working down here 12 hours a day," but he said, "I'm short of help. Could you help me clean at night? So I got some dentist offices to clean." And I said, "I'm your man." Now, you got to understand, I was a young man. You know, I was 31 years old. And I said, "Well, what do you got?" He said, "Well, I need these places clean 3 nights a week. Would you clean it? This is how much I'll pay you." I said, "I'll do it." So I started paying. I started talking to my people that had the mortgage on my house. "See if you'll talk to them." Yeah. I said, I told them that you know, I'm working on it. I'll get caught up. So I started working cleaning that. And we started, got the walls up. We're getting the roof on and everything else. And I'm going every night, feeding the whole church with all this food. I mean, we were so blessed. I mean, they had wonderful rolls. Cinnamon roll, they were good in the morning, man. You heat them up, man, they were delicious. Yeah, they went past the date, but they were delicious. I go over here, maybe I can get somebody to understand. You remember those days, Robert? Nah, you're spoiled. You know everything. And then one day, that guy was having marital problems, and he left the state. He just left. And and I said, well, he ain't going to pay me. So after a week or so cleaning, I just left. I just didn't go back and clean those places. Well, one day, a few days after that, I was out there working on the job, you know, supervising and helping. And then they said in that we had an office like you guys got down there, at the an office, a construction office, and the lady came out and said, Brother Ed, there's somebody, a company, that wants to talk to you. And I said, oh, I wonder if it's a mortgage company. So I got on there. Now remember, let me put a disclaimer. You don't do this unless God tells you to do it. Do you know what I'm talking about? But it was something because of the ministry, the call on my life. And I picked up the phone, and it was this company that I cleaned. And I don't know how today they got that number. And they said, What happened? You guys ain't cleaning our factory no more. I says, well, that guy left. I don't know where he's at. Oh, well, you did such a good job. Could you clean it? We'll give you the contract. I said, well, I don't have the equipment. He said, well, we got a buffer. We got buckets, and you could do that. I said, sure, I'll do it. Put the phone down here. I got a contract. The next day, another person phoned me. I'm starting to bound. And then another call comes in, another place that I was working and cleaning. To this day, I don't know how they found out where I was at. Because I wasn't doing business. The guy was over to give him cards or anything. And he phoned, and he said, well, would you clean it? I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, we'll give you the contract because you do such a good job. Let me do a little side note. If you're a Christian, you should do a good job. Be a witness. And I had that. Within a month, I had 3 employees. I had a truck full of mops and buckets and buffers. And I was bringing home in 1970, I was bringing home profit $10,000 a month. And still working down at the church. And got caught up with my mortgage. And then they ran out of money building the building. And I knew that I couldn't leave there until it was done. So I started paying for some of the lumber and stuff for I could get released. A faithful man should abound in the blessings of God. And I worked from the time we moved the dirt until the day of dedication. And then God said, you have obeyed me. He said, I was up on the roof, and somebody brought me a flyer of the Full Gospel Businessmen meeting in Denver, Colorado, July of 1971. And a guy came up on the roof and said, I believe you're supposed to be at that meeting. And I looked at the advertisement and I said, brother, he was the president of Full Gospel Movement. I says, I don't have no money to go. I put everything into this church to get this church done because I did what God told me to do. Now I'm about four and a half years old in the Lord. And I said, I don't have the money to go. And he said, oh, okay. I said, well, give me the flyer. I went home and I was laying in bed. That's usually when God deals with me, when I'm laying there and my head's shut off. He starts talking. He said, I want you to be at that meeting. I said, I don't have any money. He says, sell your house. Next day I put it up for sale, and the next day it sold. Now, I'm talking about being obedient to what God tells you to do. This was the plan. I sold that house. It was just fast escrow. Everything moved in a rental house. Just put the furniture in there and took off and went to that meeting. And in that meeting is where God set me up for the ministry I'm in today. There was 3 men that were speaking at the youth. Copeland, John Osteen, and Dad Hagen. He said, there'll be a day you'll be pastoring for a while, and I want you to follow Osteen, how he pastored his church. That's the way I want you to. He said, he has the closest to a New Testament church. I'm talking about John Osteen, Joel's dad. And then Copeland, you follow him in faith and the covenant. He said, but follow Brother Hagin. We called him back then, but his dad Hagin today to me. He said, you follow him until either I come or he goes home to be with the Lord, and you will fulfill everything that you need. Listen to me. Start being faithful. Got one amen, a nod back here. Y'all tired or something? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A faithful man. Everybody say a faithful man. See, I didn't abound in the blessings of God. I didn't know much about faith, but I knew that I loved my Father, and there was faith in my heart. I had a measure of faith. Everybody's got the same measure. And I was just following that, being in faithful. What I don't know what he would tell you to do. Did he tell you to be involved in the building program? Be faithful to that. If he gave you a mount, be faithful and watch what God will do. God deal with you when they're... See, I don't know about you. A church is a family.
That's right.
It's one big family. You heard my wife, like, that's how she pastors her church, the way her mother run her family. That's the way we run. We're all a family, and we all got duties.
That's right.
My job was to put the trash out and mow the lawn when I was living at home. That was my job. And if you didn't do it, you'd get whipped. I had a German mother. Boy, she didn't mess around. The reason I'm telling you is because for this cause, many are weak, many are sick, and many die premature. And that's, I like to say, many Christians fail because every one of you have a part. I'm doing the best that I know how to be faithful to the part that I did. I had no idea. All I know is 1965, God said you'll go all over the world. And I have over 12 million miles just in airlines, not counting my own jet and my airplanes that I've owned through the years that I have traveled because I obeyed God in that one thing. Hallelujah. He's looking in these last days. Can he find faith on this earth? Can you say amen? Everybody say a faithful man. Bound in the blessing. And do you know I had that business for 2.5 years and then I sold it and it helped me, the finances that came in from that, that got me started in the ministry I'm in today? God said, I don't have anybody else. He's got a job for you. He's got a job when you start going over to, we were over there today. I am so excited. This is part of the vision from the beginning, and it's coming to pass. Be excited about it. Praise God. And you got a job. And do you know that if your job is just to be faithful at the door and greeting people with a smile, not a frown? I tell my staff, this is the big pop. Be happy. If you're not happy about this church, nobody else is going to be happy about it. And if that's what God told you to do, I pulled up, and this young man here, he'd been out there for years, out in that carport. He's got his little thing where he listens to the football game. Well, but he's out there being faithful. And when he gets up there and Pastor Joe gets up there, he's going to cause all the ones that helped him do it. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know about you. That's the day that I'm looking for. When he says, well done, good and faithful servant, instead of, what'd you do? There's rewards. And I have a fulfilling ministry. I love what I do. I couldn't think of anything else to do right now. Eventually, I got promoted after that church job. I got promoted into the ministry. And what I'm doing today, going all over the world to preach. What if I wasn't faithful as a door greeter? What if I wasn't faithful in being a deacon? What if I was faithful when I wasn't down there on work days? God said, there's something in him, and it's a spirit of faith. Because if you got faith towards God and love God, you'll be faithful to your local church. Stand up and put your hands to God. Hallelujah. Put your hands to God. Give him praise and give him.